Little Lady Foods.
May it please the court. My name is Arthur H. Anderson, Jr., and I represent the plaintiff appellant Robert Joe Hall. Robert Joe Hall is a native, and she is appealing the grant of summary judgment in favor of her former employer, Little Lady Foods, Inc. This is an employment discrimination case. Mrs. Johal worked for her employer for nearly 9 years. For the first 7.5 years, she was the manager of quality assurance, and for the balance of the time she worked for the company, she was the manager of research and development. For 4 of the years while she was manager of quality assurance, she was also the head of research and development without that title. On April 9th, 2001, the company created a new position of Director of Technical Services. That position incorporated all of the duties of Mrs. Johal's then current position of Manager of Research and Development. It also incorporated the duties of the then vacant position of Manager of Quality Assurance, which Mrs. Johal had performed for 7.5 years. A month and a half later, the company hired a Caucasian to fill the position of Director of Technical Services.
Why do you keep referring to Caucasians? Given that your client is one.
Within the language of this case, the term Caucasian.
Why don't you just refer to whites or Europeans or something like that? And the statute prohibits discrimination on account of national origin. But all this emphasis on Caucasian, not only, I assume you don't refer to black people as Negroids. And it's particularly puzzling here since your client is in the old Caucasian grouping.
Before this court is that was the terminology that was used first in taking depositions and
But the district judge said it was pointless and confusing since your client is a Caucasian and therefore one should stop, and you appear to be highly resistant to judicial advice.
With the court's permission, we'll stop using the terminology and we'll use you switch to terminology of color then.
National origin.
Okay. 2 months after the Director of Technical Services started to work, the company fired my client, and the reason given for her discharge was the elimination of her job as Manager of Research and Development. I'd like to make 3 points in addition to those which were made already in the briefs. First, 5 minority managers reported to the Vice President of Operations, Robert Gimmett, prior to his retirement. In the 15-month period after the retirement of Robert Gimmett and before the firing of my client, each of those 5 minority managers was either fired, demoted, or forced to change his position. This pattern of treatment is the nexus of discrimination for the portion of the brief which relates to direct evidence of discrimination. Second, when the defendant created the position of Director of Technical Services, in setting out the job description for that position, it virtually copied all of the duties of my client's position as Manager of Research and Development. Two conclusions flow from this copying of duties and the naming of identical duties for two positions. First, these show that the Director of Technical Services was replaced the position of Manager of Research and Development. And second, that after the position of Manager of Research and Development was purportedly eliminated, it shows that the duties continue intact. The establishment of the position of Director of Technical Services did not change any duties of the duties and responsibilities of the Department of Research and Development. It did not change the duties of the head of that department. It only changed the person who would perform those duties. Third point that I'd like to make is that the evidence establishes an entitlement to recover under the McDonnell Douglas versus Green indirect method. The evidence shows that a prima facie case has been established. Mrs. Jo Howell is a minority, is an Indian. She was fired, and the person who replaced her was not an Indian. The payment of a $3,500 discretionary bonus after she was fired is a dramatic statement of her performance at the time of her discharge. And that in and of itself ought to establish that she was performing satisfactorily at the time of her discharge. The reason for the discharge of Mrs. Jo Howell is the elimination of her position. The principal question in this case is whether that allegation is in fact truthful. It is rare to have an elimination of a position which is not accompanied by a reduction in force. The cases of Quarantino versus Tiffany and Company and Garcia versus Pueblo Country Club, which are cases which arise outside of the Seventh Circuit, address and discuss specifically that question. The underlying rationale of those two cases is that a question of fact exists about whether a position has been eliminated if two conditions exist. The first condition is that duties of the job which purportedly has been eliminated continue on into a second position. The second condition is that the person who held the prior job was qualified to perform all of the duties of the new job, even including the duties which may have been added. The position of Director of Technical Services has two sources. The first source was my client's job as Manager of Research and Development. The fact that she was holding that position is evidence that she was qualified to perform those duties. The second part of the job of Director of Technical Services related to quality assurance. Mrs. Jo Howell can perform as Manager of Quality Assurance for 7.5 years. And during that period of time, she had always gotten outstanding reviews from the person to whom she reported. During the 4 years while my client was Manager of Quality Assurance, she also headed Research and Development without the title. That experience showed that she was able to coordinate the two positions. There was sufficient evidence to show that Britain students set forth in Quarantino and Garcia that the position of manager research and development had not been eliminated. If there are no questions, I've finished the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Holmes.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Dave Holmes. I represent Middle Leaf Foods Incorporated. Trial court in this case carefully reviewed an extensive record and produced and published a very thoughtful, well-reasoned decision granting summary judgment to Little Lady Foods in this case. And there really is no genuine issue of material fact based on the evidence that's been presented by the plaintiff. As the trial court noted, many of the facts submitted in the statement of facts by Little Lady Foods were not properly refuted by the plaintiff and therefore admitted. And it's those uncontested and admitted facts that demonstrate that there is no genuine issue of material fact here. About Little Lady Foods, it was a rapidly growing company in 2001. Going back actually to 2000, it acquired the Heinz account, which Heinz was a much more sophisticated customer of Little Lady Foods than it had had in the past. It had much stricter requirements, and Little Lady Foods found itself growing very quickly and found that it needed to make changes to its business structure and to the personnel that it had in order to meet these more sophisticated clients, and also in the hope of acquiring other more sophisticated clients. And as a result, what happened with Ms. Johal is that because of her lack of technical expertise, her lack of a culinary degree, there was a decision ultimately made that her position of manager of research and development, that position would have to be eliminated. And the reason for that was because Little Lady Foods thought that it wanted to expand the research and development area into something where they were going to have someone with culinary experience, they would have a technician handle some of the responsibilities, and then ultimately the director of technical services could also handle a portion of the responsibilities. That was the reason that the position of research and development manager was eliminated, and given that elimination and the complaints and problems that had occurred with the plaintiff over especially about the last 6 months of her employment, that was the reason that Ms. Johal was terminated. And that was the only reason. It had nothing to do with any discriminatory intent. The plaintiff has offered several different reasons that it believes and has met its burden of showing a genuine issue of material fact. It approaches it in two different ways. It looks at the direct method, arguing that there is circumstantial evidence that the plaintiff has offered. I'll just touch on those arguments briefly. The argument that Paula Gerlach replaced Ms. Johal is just inaccurate. Paula Gerlach was hired in May of 2001 to be the Director of Technical Services. She was overseeing both a manager of research and development and a manager of quality assurance. And in addition to that, she was responsible for all regulatory issues. And that's something that the plaintiff hasn't touched on at all, and it's something that was a very important part of the job of Director of Technical Services. In fact, when Ms. Gerlach came on board, Little Lady Foods had a regulatory issue that required a substantial amount of her attention. That was something that was happening with Little Lady Foods. The regulatory issues were becoming more prominent for them as they were growing in size and their clientele was more sophisticated. So that is something that the plaintiff has completely ignored. That was a significant part of the Director of Technical Services job. So Ms. Grillot did not replace Ms. Johal. In addition, if you look at after the position of research and development was eliminated, the responsibilities for that position were spread out among three different people. They were spread out among Ms. Bava, who was the person with a culinary degree. They were spread out with the lead technician and the director of technical services. So the cases that the plaintiff has cited, the Quarantino case, the Garcia case, really aren't on point at all because we have something significantly different here with Ms. Gerlach. The plaintiff has also offered an attempt at some statistical evidence. We submit that that's not valid statistical evidence in any sense. It's simply some anecdotal information, and as the trial court properly recognized, the anecdotal information is very incomplete. We don't know anything about the qualifications of any of the managers that the plaintiff argues were either let go or relieved of the managerial position. So the case law there, I think, is the cases cited by the trial court are convincing that you've got to offer evidence of the qualifications of the people you're talking about in this situation. That wasn't done. There's also an argument about shifts in reporting, which really is just gross speculation on the plaintiff's part that somehow the fact that the plaintiff was not reporting as R&D manager to Mr. Giacaris somehow is enough to show circumstantial evidence of discriminatory intent. That would just be a huge leap and would be nothing more than speculation. There is also an argument about the stock appreciation rights, and there I think the trial court accurately set forth that what we have here is different stock appreciation rights being offered at different times. In 1993 and 2000, they were being offered to officers of the company, and in 1996 and 1999, they were offered to people in a lower position in the company, and that was the reason that there was an addenda attached to those, and no explanation or no evidence produced by the plaintiff that would allow the court or jury to conclude somehow that there is discriminatory intent with respect to Ms. Johal connected to those stock appreciation rights. There's also an argument about the credibility of Mr. Giacaris, and here argument is that he didn't know when he gave his deposition or didn't state correctly that the company had four elected officers rather than two, he didn't know that the stock appreciation right addenda did not apply to everyone. Neither of these inconsistencies are sufficient to raise any issue that there was any discriminatory intent in the termination here. Then we get to the McDonnell-Douglas analysis, and here the plaintiff clearly has not presented sufficient evidence to show that she was satisfactorily performing. We've shown, and the evidence has been admitted, that there were several complaints about the plaintiff in 2001. Complaints from Heinz that she was making mistakes. Complaints from her own salespeople that she was lacked technical expertise and that she was making representations to clients that could not be backed up by the company. The evidence has been admitted and shows that she was not adequately performing her job responsibilities. Even if the plaintiff could overcome that hurdle, there's certainly no evidence of pretext here. The plaintiff offers very little here to show that somehow Little Lady Foods was lying when it came to the conclusion that it would have to eliminate the research and development manager position because it needed additional expertise, because it needed culinary experience. There's certainly no evidence here in this record to show that the plaintiff or rather that Little Lady Foods was lying when it came to that conclusion. In fact, if you look at the record, Little Lady Foods was making a number of changes to its business structure and to its personnel. It was a company that was growing, and it was a company that was trying to stay ahead and meet the new demands that that it was being faced with as a result of that growth. I believe that I have covered most of the plaintiff's arguments, and I have covered the reasons that we certainly believe that the trial court's decision was correct. The evidence we submit is overwhelming, and it shows that Little Lady Foods eliminated this position for adequate business reasons, and it had nothing to do with any discriminatory intent. I'd be happy to answer any questions that any of the judges have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Holmes. Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
I'd like to respond to three points which were raised. The first is that there's no evidence that the Director of Technical Services replaced Ms. Jo Howell. The rationale for this seems to be that the Director of Technical Services was hired 2 weeks before the company fired Mrs. Jo Howell. The fact that every single one of the duties and responsibilities that were given to Mrs. Jo Howell were also given to the Director of Technical Services, I believe shows that the Director of Technical Services was indeed the successor. That once the company had hired the Director of Technical Services, Mrs. Johal became a manager without manager responsibilities. For 2 months, she was, in effect, a technician in her own department. I believe that the argument that the defendant makes, that it was necessary to eliminate the position of manager of research and development because they needed additional expertise in culinary services is a red herring, trying to divert attention from the fact that the Director of Technical Services was the replacement for the manager of research and development. Prior to the hiring of the culinary chef, the company had outsourced all of its needs for work and chef, for work on culinary matters. The company states that it was in fact growing in hiring of the chef, which occurred at some undefined point before the end of the year 2001, was an addition to the staff rather than a substitution for the work that was being done by the manager of research and development. But the defendant also indicates that one of the reasons that the company discharged Mrs. Jo Howell related to complaints that it had received. This explanation of this brief does not say anything other than that the reason for the discharge was the elimination of the position. That the existence and need for a position is an objective fact. That what happened here was the company has substituted one person for another. I request that the thank the court for attention and request that the that the order of the district court be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. The case is taken under advisement.